Welcome to the Electric Theater.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Very good, man. Thank you so much for talking to me today.
Hey, no problem, man. Thank you for talking to me. So, I'm sorry about these sort of primitive recording techniques. There's all these things adhered to me that I don't even know, like parasites, you know what I mean? Like, seems like I can't do things without all these other things. Makes me laugh too. So anyway,
dude, it's crazy. Like my stream rig I've had to build, there were no guides. So I had to just figure it out. There's so much shit that I had to use to just broadcast myself. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how much stuff it needs.
That's really cool that you, I swear to God, this is the first thing I was going to say right away, was that I wanted to talk to you about something I'm very interested in with you. We have mutual friends, of course. And from time to time, you know, I'll ask people that are out on the road, you know, have you talked to this person or this person? How are they doing? What's going on? I don't really watch TV or watch a lot of news and these sort of things. So I don't always know when my friends drop albums or videos or have special stuff going on. But anyway, mutual friends always are reminding me how much you're into not only games, but the gaming community. And I didn't know how far you really went until, you know, I was told that too. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I'd rather hear it from you directly and have you tell me a little bit about it. It's really interesting. Of course, I'm 50. So, you know, we could talk about a lot of games that I played when I was really young. But I'm really interested in this, so tell me a little bit about what you got going on.
Definitely. So we played a show in Spain, and after the show, the promoter came up to us and said, hey, there's some YouTubers that want to meet you. And we were all like, all right, we've heard of YouTubers, let's say hey. So they came back, and we looked them up, like right before they came in the room, and it turns out like each one of them has like multi-million subscribers. Like the main guy, Jordy Wild, is like 7.5 million. His buddy has 2 million. His friend has 3 million. And they're all at our show. So we meet them, they end up being super cool people. After they leave, I say out loud in the dressing room, I was like, man, I'd like to start making YouTube videos someday. And Paulo looks at me and says, why don't you do Twitch instead? And I was like, what's that? And he's like, well, it's a live video game streaming platform, because he knows how much I've been into games. I look it up, I start a YouTube account and a Twitch account. This is a little over 3 years ago. When I get home, I start streaming on Twitch. I have a PS4, a webcam. I don't really understand the ethic or the ethos of it much. I'm talking to like, there's like 15 people watching me for like 30 minutes at a time. I keep going with that a little bit. And then we have a tour coming up through San Francisco. I get a tweet from someone who works at Twitch, and they're like, hey, we'd love you to invite to the HQ. We hear that you stream on our platform now. So I went down, I see this incredible tech space. They've got like their own live-in chefs and a bar and a barista and all this. It's crazy San Francisco style tech land stuff. And these guys end up being super cool people. They're two of my closest friends in the world now still, but this was about 2.5 years into streaming. They lent me this thing called the Gunrun IRL backpack. Gunrun was a Twitch employee. He invented this live streaming backpack. It's 4 modems that are feeding into a live streaming unit as a backup battery and an HD camera. So they lent me this thing. So I started streaming our shows on tour, and at home I go back to my kind of not so great streaming setup. And I really loved doing the show thing. And as our friendship progressed, we'd visit them in San Francisco. So my wife and I used to get tattooed all the time, and we'd do like food tours. I was talking to John and Brandon from Twitch, and I said, I love streaming. I just can't do as much as I want to, because I need to practice 1 to 3 hours a day. I blew my voice out in 2014. I had to relearn how to sing and scream, and I just have to keep that amount of practice up to stay in shape at all times. And Brandon looks at me and goes, why don't you stream that? And I said, Brandon, no one wants to watch me do my vocal exercises and play Trivium songs every single day. He's like, I bet you they do. And at that point, I started doing that first, kind of just a very primal setup, like one webcam off a PC. And I watched my numbers go from 15 to like 150. And I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. It kept steadily growing. I stayed at that I started doing 5 days a week off tour. Twice a day, on tour 7 days a week, 1 to 3 times a day, streaming every single show for free, every single soundtrack, every single warm-up. My band was super cool with it. We had all that stuff going. And then once this worldwide shutdown went down, it seems like since everyone was at home, they're like, all right, I'm going to check this thing out that Matt's been doing. And the channel has since exploded. It's like 6x'd in subscriptions, viewers, followers. It's become really, really, really great, fun community place. And what it is, it's not that I started streaming on Twitch and that Trivium fan, oh, sorry. It's not that I started streaming on Twitch and that Gen Pop Twitch kids came over. Twitch was live streaming platform, guys that play video games super well and people watch them from there. It's not those kids that were watching us. It's that I taught Trivium fans to come over to a new platform. They came over, and now that everyone's home, now that everyone needs something to do, the infrastructure was already set up. So it's turned into something really great.
It's amazing. pardon me. Listening to you, one, I can tell you're majorly excited, and that's amazing. I have about a million questions. You broke that down perfectly. I mean, seriously, that was like a presentation.
thank you.
So I have a lot of questions. Okay, first question, kind of maybe a little obscure and out there, but I just want to know, and it's I'm not like starting anything. I'm just like that backpack, that four modem backpack. Obviously wireless, this was something you wore for a minute.
So what we did, we tried sound checks with me wearing it and we realized it looks a little weird on stage. So we experimented with it at the soundboard, like picking up, like it's got built in HD camera microphones. So we tried something because it sounded good listening to the PA. Sounds okay. Side stage doesn't sound good because we don't use cabs. We use all like direct stuff. Right. We're about to switch to cabs again. So the audio would always be, you can't really tell what's going on. But what we've since done is our sound guy made a specific mix that sounds good for cell phones. It sounds good for iPod headphones. It sounds good for people listening basically to the stream. So we made a stream mix that audio cable runs out of our monitor board and goes directly into the backpack camera. So people basically have like a live DVD feed for every single show now. And the audio, the visual is okay. The audio is amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, is there any, because I get crazy with this stuff and I put myself in the position of like harm's way. Did anybody give any information? Like, you know, is there any radiation going on with four wireless modems, you know, walking around with that? Like, did it get hot or was it complicated? Yeah, it gets hot, right?
Yeah, the rig is super complicated. Because I'm not super tech savvy. I'm really not. So I've had to completely teach myself how to do this stuff. And I'm a really slow learner. Everything I've ever gotten into, I've had to put like double to quadruple the amount of time that someone else had to. Like I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for about 7 years. And my first 3 or 4 or 5 years, I had to train 2 to 3 times as much as everyone else to get it really solidified into my body and my mind. Same thing with guitar and singing. The reason why my voice was so messed up and the reason why I blew my voice out is that I was singing and screaming wrong for 15 years. So I had to unlearn everything and relearn how to do it correctly again. That's why still, like even today, I've already sung for 2 hours a day. And every day, Monday through Friday, it's like 3 to 6 hours a day. It's me practicing Trivium stuff on stream to make sure I keep that muscle memory going at all times. So I had to teach myself how to do the backpack. So if something went down, something went weird, I had to learn how to troubleshoot. I had to learn how to take these things apart, how to get into the SIM cards. And, you know, there's always something that'd be going wrong because with the four modems plus a backpack, all these different wires, if a show is hot, it can overheat. So we started venting the backpack, like leaving it open, trying to keep it by a fan. Radiation stuff, I guess I am a little worried about that because it is a lot of stuff. I mean, it's four unlimited pieces of data all being transmitted at all times because it requires that. And the reason, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, well, like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to like bring up anything with that, but it is true. Like usually on a manufacturer's box for a cell phone or whatever, they'll give you, I think by law, they got to give you some of that information. Of course they use words we don't understand and we won't put it together, but I mean, there's radio waves plowing through us right now, you know, just in our houses and stuff. So, I mean, it's going on everywhere, but that just sounded like high tech. And I knew it had to get hot as it was crunching numbers and trying to process the data and, you know, get the information to all the people. And that's a whole other thing. Well, what about the situation? I trail over, you know, I just go off of what you say and what's really interesting. So what about the situation with, because I'm sure, you know, listeners would be interested in this. So you were saying you're using it, you're streaming, you know, you said several things. You said, you know, streaming live for free every night, band's cool with it. And mainly, you know, I was under the understanding that it was mainly you were doing a lot of gaming, but it sounds like what you're saying, it's mainly you've turned it more into like your dream of rock and roll. So where does the label or the people that are involved with your organization, the brand, if you will, Trivium, where is everybody with you on that process of being able to stream live, offer it to people at a compromise, only my opinion, in a compromised sort of output, you know, like it's not the best, it's not the worst, it's just in between. It's an offering to you live now if you're interested. Where do all the, you know, where do all the left brainers stand, you know?
Yeah, I'm very lucky that my band is super embracing of it. I'm when I first brought it up to them, I was like, all right guys, here's what I'm doing, this seems pretty cool, I think this could become something. And at this point, you know, we'd have, like I said, 150, 250 people watching for a show, which I was always boggled by. I was like, man, only this few people want like a free side stage thing. They're not doing anything right now. Why wouldn't they want to watch this? But what we've found, and I'm sure you've seen the same, it's really hard to port your fans from one thing to another. Like I was teaching Jared Dines, the big YouTuber, about Twitch, and even he agreed it's so hard. He's got 3 million subs just for him on YouTube, but he's having a hard time bringing them to his Twitch. Same reason, like we've got tons of fans in Trivium. It's been so hard to teach them to come over to this new platform. So it's really been those multiple years of me drilling into them, like, you've got to check this out. It's free. It's cool. You can also, like, people can support if they want to financially, but they don't have to. And that's always like the big thing I put in there. Like, I'm going to be doing this no matter what. I would normally be practicing this much by myself. I like to be able to just entertain our fans even further. I should go into that part first, then I'll go back to your question. So with Trivium, we've never been a press band besides our second record in just the UK. At that time, they said we're the best band in the world. By record three, the UK said we're the worst band in the world, and they tried to bury us. With record two doing so well, a lot of the peer bands that we tour with, they didn't like that. They didn't like seeing a bunch of 18-year-olds saying, hey, we're going to take over the world, and magazines resounding that, like echoing that. So we quickly kind of didn't have any allies in music or in press. So we've only ever had our fans. And then we've had a couple bands that have taken care of us, you guys, Metallica, Maiden, people that didn't see that end of it. So when we first came up, we didn't have press. We didn't have other bands backing us. We just had our fans. So I've always wanted to do something. I've always wanted to give everything that I feel like giving. Like, it is curated. They don't see everything. They don't see everything that I do. But we give them exactly what we want to give them. So that's why I love the idea of this live streaming thing, that for hours upon a day, that the people that help me do what I do, they can just hang out and see what it takes to be in shape for tour and see what it takes to be in shape for making a record. My band loves it. They think it's a really cool thing. It's not that when I'm on tour, this thing is making bank. When I'm on tour, it sustains the channel. When I'm at home is when the channel grows. And the way it grows, people decide to optionally subscribe. They can subscribe for $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, or just be there. And when they're there for free, they get the same stuff basically that people are subscribing for. So when I'm home, I find subscription numbers go up. On tour, the channel sustains. And people love seeing the shows. I've had some band guys say to me, like, well, you're giving away shows. Why would people want to see you guys live then? Like, well, you can never mimic what it is to be in the crowd. You can never mimic what it is to be at a show. But I consider this kind of the next best thing. Like, if you feel like watching your favorite band every day, I know as a kid, if my heroes of musicians would have been doing this, I would have been watching every single day, because I think it's just so interesting to see what people do behind the scenes. I've always loved that. Label's super embracing of it. And I feel what's interesting is I can kind of see it now. For me, saying how Trivium's never been like a press band or a band's band or really the band that's talked about other than anyone by their fans, with this record, everyone knows what we're doing. Everyone knows what's going on, whether they like it or they don't. I feel like because of this medium, because of us coming into the largest game streaming platform and pioneering having music on that, we're always readily accessible for those who want to see it. So we feel more modern and new than ever, even though I've been in this band for 21 years and we've got 9 records out now.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I like that. That I come from a sort of a whole other different world. And you know, when we came up, we were at the tail end of a whole thing anyway, you know. So it's changing all the time. What I like that you're saying is, you know, basically with everyone knowing what you're doing, you know, I'm not a big fan of just control in general, you know, because it can screw up your human life. But it's interesting that everyone knows what you're doing, which you're letting them know, which means you're able to kind of police yourself on what you want mm-hmm. to offer and what you believe is important for a real fan to have. And that's amazing information, you know, because I sort of come from a school where it was mandatory to do press. It was the only way you were going to get out there. You know, I remember people just threatening me about, you know, like having one person in the band on the cover. And, you know, I'm like, absolutely not. You know, it's all nine. And they'd be like, well, this magazine's got 250,000 circulation. I don't care, you know, but it was mandatory. I mean, we would fight and we'd end up having to do it. So it was part of it. So I really like that you can be your own filter and decide what you feel the nourishment is for your fan base. That's amazing. It's a lot of work, right? I mean, it's a, how much work in a 24-hour day do you dedicate? I mean, solely to this concept of yours, all the facets of it. I'm sure there's many more. I mean, keeping up with learning and then the manualness of it, like actually putting things together, hooking things up, and then just the mentalness of the expertise needed. So I know there's many facets of this, but how many hours in 24 hours do you solely dedicate to this concept of yours?
Right now, the schedule is Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern and 2:30 p.m. Eastern. It roughly totals to about 3 to 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then on tour, it's the shows, which is easy because the show, I just hit go. And it's just live and I'm not interacting. But the interesting thing about this medium is it's not so much about it just being live. Like YouTube, it's about, sure, there's YouTube live. People watch videos. It does incredibly well. But with this medium, it's all about that two-way interaction. It's all about host engaging with viewer. Not 100% of the time, but that's when the stuff does better. And that's why I was saying how there's no necessarily growth on tour because it's just a static show. They're not able to talk to us. But then when I'm at home in between songs or if I'm being funny that day or if I'm writing something sporadically or it's all in the moment, I'm talking to them or interacting with them in chat. Like we've even made emojis of like crowd surfing and circle pits and all these things. So it's like the closest like super modern thing, almost like a Black Mirror episode, essentially, of what a show can be. See, the 3 to 6 hours off tour and then on tour, I mean, on a day off, you know, days off are pretty infinite hours. So I'll have like 8 hours of game streaming throughout the day.
Right.
But on the show day, it's my hour long. Yeah, it's great on days off because it's so entertaining and be able to be plugged in. I love what you said, how you like that you can, that I get to control the message, even though I am essentially the Truman Show all the time for the last 3 years. No one knew we were making a record, which I loved, that I was still live 3 to 6 hours a day. And we decided not to let anyone know that we're writing music, that we're going to the studio, or the record was done. So it is so possible to still keep that mystique while also being out there. And I love that juxtaposition. I love to have both extremes. I've always considered myself like everything I get into, I like to go to the full, just like you do. Like I like to go when I was getting into food, the first thing I wanted to make took me 3 days. And when I wanted to get into martial art, I was like, what's the hardest one? I'm going to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Or when I got into metal, like, well, what's the heavier version of metal? And that's when I started going to black metal and death metal. And when I went to the stream, I was like, all right, how do I turn this thing into something crazy? So now like my room is essentially a live DVD. Like I've got vintage heads that are running into cabs that are running into microphones. I taught myself how to mic cabs and taught myself how to EQ guitars. And that all feeds into a Mac that feeds into PC. So I like created this new setup that I've never seen before. I like it. It's frustrating. It's difficult. It takes time. I'm a very impatient person as well. But I think this has been like an interesting exercise that I've incorporated something entirely new into my life and my regimen.
Well, how old are you right now?
I'm 34, 35. I always forget. It's 34 or 35. 1986, I was born.
Isn't it weird that I
should know
it? Isn't it weird I asked, like, how old are you right now? And I'm like, why did I ask you like that? And then you're like, I don't even remember sometimes. I'm
Know what day it is.
It's
or how.
Yeah, me either, man. So that's kind of why I said it. Like, well, let me take this now. Let me take it to this level.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Do you? You know, you're really intense with this, and I like that passion. I mean, art, man, right? You know, once you embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
But do you do anything during the day that is absolutely necessary to offset the passion? Of course, you know, I'm sure you have frustration sometimes. There's always the things that come with passion. But do you have anything that is completely, you know, opposite? So for example, I do a lot of yard work, and when I do yard work, I make it absolutely, it's important to me that most of the time that I'm doing yard work, that I don't listen to music. I mean, music's my favorite thing on the planet Earth and in the world, in the solar system. So, but I force myself to open up and listen and calm the mind and be manual and, you know, work and breathe and, you know, struggle with a rake, but then relax and have it be a tool that is refreshing. So do you have anything that's completely opposite where you actually turn off? No one has to tell you, your wife doesn't have to be like, yo, you know, like it's time, you know, like you don't have to be reminded. Do you have anything like that that also helps you keep conquering this and keep moving forward with that many hours a day?
100%. It's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's been one of the biggest, most important things in my life. Obviously, with this, you know, voluntary quarantining of physical distancing, I haven't been able to train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's something that is a part of me, and to not have that right now, it's very difficult. When I started, I wanted to quit for the first year, and I didn't understand it for the first 3 years. And I get my ass kicked by people half my size all the time. And it was around the 4, 5, 6 year mark. Just like I said, I like to find what the most extreme thing is. I started finding that for my school being a traditional Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, there were certain submissions that were looked at as evil. And like, which I find kind of ironic, because like Jiu-Jitsu, it's about air and blood chokes and breaking every different joint of the arm or the upper body. But leg locks were looked at as something that was kind of the devil's submission. And I really liked that. I was like, this is interesting. I was like, all right, so in a submission or in a self-defense or in a martial arts, we're trying to incapacitate our opponents, leg locks are dirty or evil. So I started studying that. I didn't have a place to study because my school doesn't do it. So I'd start training with different people across, while I'd be touring, and I'd ask them how to do it. And I really fell in love with it. And I started excelling in that. I found something that the mechanics of the human leg make more sense to me than an arm. Like I understand why a leg breaks better than an arm breaks. So with jiu-jitsu, like you can get in those different subgenres as well, just like metal, just like food. But BJJ is one of them. I've been training Ashtanga yoga for about 10 years or so. That's the thing that I need. I find that I always seem, everyone's like always saying to me, Matt, you seem like a very happy, balanced person. Why are you so angry on stage? Why do you make such angry music? The only reason why I'm balanced is because I know the amount of shit it requires to keep me in this place. I need yoga and jujitsu and bodyweight exercises and cardio and weightlifting, but also food and film. I can't make visual art, but I'm so inspired by visual art. That's why I've always loved visual artists. I feel like mammals need that physical outlet, but at the same time, they also need that hobby that isn't physical, gaming for me. So it's all those things, that cocktail of just all these things I need to do that keep me in place and keep me in check. Same with having the outlet of Trivium, which is so necessary. But at the same time, I'm also working on this black metal project I've been working on for 10 years with the frontman of Emperor called Mritsu. We've been working on that since 2010. It's almost finally done. So it's constantly staying busy. I'm an extremely high anxiety person, but my high anxiety gets calmer with the more things I have to do.
I like that. That's, you know, I mean, I was explaining to my son-in-law last night, I was like, you know, these days it's very refreshing to follow through. In the old days, I wouldn't take on a lot of stuff. I'd be passionate about one thing and try to excel in that one thing, because if I divided my brains up into all these other areas, you know, everything's half-assed. and that's not mm-hmm. good for me and not good for anyone. So it's cool that you can get your happiness by supplying it with many things and excelling in each one because they each interest you. And then just, I guess, priority, you know, knowing priority. You were saying that, you know, Trivium is a must, you know, it's something that you need in order to get through reality. And, you know, priorities and knowing your priorities, that's all really important stuff, especially with what we do. You know, don't forget, you got to be a pirate. You know, I mean, you have to be a pirate. And that always worried me in the beginning because I'm an only child. So I didn't know how I was going to fare with human beings. You know, I thought I was for sure going to tap out because it's just an awful lot of humans to be forced upon in such a small amount of time. And, you know, but I learned that I was a pirate. I mean, really quickly, you know. So, well, that's really cool, man. Now, what about, let's get into something really heavy that interests me. This is something like I'm trying to, I can't really put it into words, but this is something that I would like to be able to have like a manual for. I'd like to have a mm-hmm. booklet where I could sit down with people and say, please add to this, read this, help me make a hypothesis on this because this has to go away because it's just, mm-hmm. it's stupidity at its finest. So mm-hmm. comments.
Yep.
People, human beings being allowed to have the right to directly speak to you. Now, mm-hmm. one, you would think that anybody who is commenting would have to have their end of participation, which would be their email, their name, their contact. Like if you're going to say something, you should be able to be held reliable. You got to be responsible for what you say. I'm a fond believer of that. It's a huge reason why I stay in my cave. I mm-hmm. stay, you know, up in the tree. I'm not scared of comments. I just don't. I'm very fascinated on, you know, these new technologies that hit the planet and that we subscribe to and we get fascinated with and we dedicate our lives to, and then it alters our lives and we start moving to the future differently than we are today standing. So mm-hmm. for me to get to it, I'm sorry. Comments.
No, I love that point. Yep.
So you do or don't, we'll get to it, but you do or don't allow comments, but what do you feel about this? It sounds like you're like, hey, look, I'm practicing. Hey, here's a new riff. Hey, mm-hmm. hey, I'm setting this up. Hey, I want to talk to you about this subject. So you're putting your heart on the sleeve. You're giving it. You're yep. inviting into a personal world. You're really being intimate. So do you allow comments? And if you do, how does Matt handle the basic number one fact of stupidity that we as humans like to indulge in, if not just to waste time and get a rise, if not just to, I'm bored, I got nothing else to do, this will be funny. I mean, sometimes there's a percentage of it that all that bad stuff that happens is that simple because we make it that simple. So how do you, mm-hmm. what do you do and how do you handle this thing that can be very, to some, it can be life-threatening. You know, we've read about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can yep. take it very personal and it can alter one life. And I don't feel like a lot of people on the other end that are doing it are responsible for it as much as we see the people that get greatly affected by it. So go ahead. I'm sorry I made that so long, but I'm pretty passionate.
No, that was a perfect, perfect point. What I'm so lucky about is like what I'm mainly putting myself out on there on Twitch. The ethos at the core of it is community. So the people that are there, the people that are populating your chat, because what it is, it's live feed and a chat that is going at all times. The chat looks like it's like a living, breathing thing. So the more people, and like when we do our show streams or when I'm doing my show streams from home and I'm telling people like your band and my band does live, jump, circle pit. You see these things happening immediately. So what's great about Twitch is you can control the community. And what our band has always been, it's been a band, as is yours, it's about getting the dark things out in life. So that way, you know, you can move forward. You can keep doing that. You can keep existing from doing that. So my chat is 99.9% positive, amazingly. But it's because of the work that we've been putting in the whole time. It's great about Twitch. You can appoint things called moderators, people that you know. The people I have appointed my moderators, and I have a lot of them, are people that have run Trivium fan clubs from around the world. I've got Trivium Germany and Trivium Portugal and Trivium Ireland, all the people that are moderators. So if there's something crappy, like some new person comes in, is just trying to get a rise, says something bad, they can time out. They can ban them permanently, instantly. If I see something that's kind of on the fence, if I feel like addressing it, I can. If I don't, you can time them out or ban them or time them out, explain why. If they come back with something crappy again, they're gone. I recognize in things like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you cannot do that. So since joining Trivium in 99, we've always been, we're the only metal band in Central Florida, like when I join a metal band. So like all the other kind of like cool kid bands would always make fun of that. Like, haha, you guys are a metal band. Like try to get a rise out of us. I remember we did a high school battle of the bands, and we were the only heavy band. I was the only kid who had long hair in my school. I had long hair and cut off camo pants and combat boots, and I was wearing like a Nile or a Crisian or a Cannibal Corpse long sleeve shirt to school every day. And we finished our set, and we've got these kids that are kind of like, not, they think metal's a joke. They're like into whatever was around at that time. And all the kids are standing up cheering for us, chanting Trivium. And he's like, all right, all the metal kids sit back down. So they start sitting back down slowly. And I see that from behind the curtain. I get out from behind the curtain, tell them all stand up. Tell them to stay standing up. So it's like, we've always been dealing with that stuff. So it depends. It's on a case by case basis. Our bass player is one of the most hardened dudes ever for comment land back. So if he sees there's some trashy band guy or trashy someone saying something bad that he disagrees with, he's going to come after them, because we believe, you know, sure, free speech, yes, it exists. You're free to say what you want, but if you say something stupid, you're going to get called on it. If someone says something bad, then whoever didn't like it has the right to call back. If I see something super negative, same thing with the rest, I try to not address it, because usually when you address it, it could be someone that's just trying to get a rise, that has nothing to, they have no idea, they've got no skin in the game, they're not a part of the situation, but they know. See a lot of younger kids now, they're grown up having to go say something nasty first because it gets your attention. That's something I've discussed a lot with one of my friends. He's one of the biggest game streamers. He specifically streams Fortnite. And he's like, man, I'll have people come in on my social media and just say something really nasty out of the gate. I was like, well, they're trying to get your attention, because typically when you respond, like, oh, I was just kidding. And they might have actually been kidding. And it's really weird that they've grown up with this clickbait style commenting being the thing. If it's super trashy, super hateful, negative, something that I could never teach them a better way, it's just a block and mute. If it's something on the fence, they seem like maybe they could understand something, I'll maybe say something back if I feel like I can turn them towards a better path. And if I can't, same thing. But generally, I find that for some reason, my stuff stays pretty positive. But as Twitch is the most positive, then Instagram, then probably Twitter, then Facebook, and then YouTube are kind of tied for the lowest. My YouTube might be maybe the most negative, but for the most part, it's only like 3 out of every 100 comments is negative, which is very good. I don't know how I've managed to make that happen, but maybe it's because of the content I put out there. It's always staying kind of on the positive end. But I find that anytime I've ever gotten into a thing, like if I see something, people are always dogging our records. And if we try to be, if we respond to their hatefulness with hilarity, they usually don't know what to do, but fire with fire, it just drags out. And I feel that nasty toxicity just stay with me. So I try to just cut it out, and they're free to say it. They're free to think it, but not on my property is the way I try to treat it.
I get it. It's such a sensitive subject. You touched on something that is the reality that I find. What I find mind-blowing is that, you know, everything in life has its opposite. You know, I've always said in interviews, 50% of the world loves me, 50% of the world hates me. I try to spend 100% of my time around the 50% of people that, you know, dig me and that I dig. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is that you have 100 comments, 3 of them are negative. But 97 of them are positive, but we humans, you know, we just levitate towards the three, unable to accept it. We usually want to lash back. It usually rises this natural instinct in us. I don't know what it is, but it's a very natural instinct. But isn't that crazy that you have 97 positive, mind-blowing potential responses, but only three that have the right to say what they want, but will retaliate? And it's not even 50%. It's not even... Mm-hmm. It's not even on to off or up to down. You know, it's just, that's what I find crazy is how we, I think it says a lot about us as people and where we're at. And I think that's where everyone has to start, is with themselves and, mm-hmm. and take on a major responsibility of what's being offered and then offer that comment. And understand that, you know, you've done your best ability to consider all. But I'd never thought about what you said, too. I've never heard that before, but I don't do a lot of it, so I'm not familiar with the lingual and all that. But you said that some people will be negative to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And I never thought about that before. I mean, that's frightening that someone would say absolutely – I mean – you know, your first impression with someone is going to be something horrible and negative that you come up with. And then
yep.
you're willing to risk never speaking to that individual ever again, because when they find out that you were joking, they might be even more angry. You know, like, that's just a weird game to play. And
it's terrifying. It's so strange. I've seen it a lot. Thankfully, I don't see it too much with us. But it's more of like, so my friend who's the big time Twitch streamer, that's like a part of the culture, not in a good way, but so like on his Instagram, when he posts a picture of himself, he actually is a streamer that you never see his face, which is kind of awesome. It's just him playing games. You hear his voice. He's interacting with you chat, but there's no face cam at all. So sometimes when he posts pictures of his face, he's like, yeah, then I'll have people rip on my looks, say something real horrible about my body or something like that. And I'm like, dude, that's bullshit. I was like, and what they're doing when he responds, if he responds, depending on the severity, whether a joke back or a middle finger back or something, there was like, no, I'm just kidding. I love you. Right. It really is. If they just wanted that attention. And I don't think it's like an age thing. I think it's a weird way the world has shifted because of how so much is based off, like I said, like clickbait journalism or, you know, falsehood that usually get people's attention first. Or when people see an article, they purely go off the title, even though it has nothing to do with the substance. It's a weird thing. But what I love that you said first is I always describe the same thing. You said the percentages. You said that 50% of the world's going to love you, 50% of the world's going to hate you. What I learned from my grandpa, actually, and he told my dad, and then my dad told me this. My grandpa's quote was, a third of the world's going to love you, a third of the world's going to hate you, and a third of the world's not going to give a shit. And I always thought it was so interesting that he did it in thirds. And so I've tried to do that in everything as well. And I even things like the situation in the world right now. I feel like a third thinks it's the end of the world, a third thinks it's absolutely nothing, and a third is kind of in the middle. So I've even sort of looked at it like that. What's weird with
Go ahead. That, not to interrupt, but that kind of works, you know, not to throw like a curveball, but you got, you know, supposedly we got heaven, we got hell, and we got purgatory. We got that gray, mm-hmm. we got that optical mixture between black and white that creates this fine line that's not even supposed to be a real color. It's just an optical mixture of the both. You know, I mean, we deem it a real thing, but you're right. You know, I like that third as well. I'm simply, mm-hmm. I always put it to 50-50 because I'm either awake or I'm asleep. You know what I mean? So I kind of live in that world, but you're right. There is that fine line of humans that can roll either way at any time. And they just kind of, you know, and that's right. So, yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, I try to apply that principle in like a lot of things. Like even like, I feel that there are two things in life where you get to know someone better than anything. One is eating with them. And my favorite way to eat with people, I don't know what this says about me, but I think it kind of does. The way I like to eat is everyone's eating the same thing. Everything's in the middle. No one has their one thing. Everyone's eating the same thing together, sharing the same experience together. And that's like my favorite way. And I actually, coincidentally, that's the way I like everything in life.
I'm never eating dinner with you. Now I know I'm being profiled. Interesting. I like this. I have a thing about eating with people too, but continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I love to be able to have everyone experience the array of everything. So we order 30 things between 10 people, and we all get to try these different things and talk about those experiences. And that's the same way we run, we like work with our band. It's like all of us are in the same place, same plane. Everyone, whoever's song is the best is the song. And I try to do that with everything in life. Like I always, when we see our crew or we see our label or we see our management, I always tell them, like if I've ever had a crew guy, they're like, oh yeah, it's really good working for you guys. Like, no, we're working together. We do this together. And I've always been about that. And I've loved any idea of like community, like us work, like people working together towards a common love. And with jujitsu, the third thing. So before I used to just try to do what I learned against someone that's doing something what they learned. So basically whoever was either naturally better, who had more time and doing the same amount of things to each other, they'd do better. But so since I decided to learn the exact opposite of what everyone else in my school did, then I found success. Then people started coming to me like, hey, Matt, teach me these leg attacks. Teach me how to do this stuff. And as they learned that, I started approaching it like, all right, I'm just going to improvise. He knows what I'm trying to do. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what I'm supposed to do. And then that would start to work. So I found that, like I mentioned with comments, fire versus fire usually doesn't make me feel good about myself. But if someone's saying something like really crappy, or I purposely post a video of me messing up a vocal thing, and it's obviously a joke, like I like to do that stuff. I like, because it's something I can't do for Trivium. Trivium is meant to be serious, and it's meant to be, you know, I'll reference how we're together and things, and it'll be positive, but always strong. But with my channel, I can be funny. I can be ridiculous. I can be goofy. Like the other side of me that also is me. So if someone said something nasty, like, oh, your voice sounds like shit, then I'll come back with it. If I come back with it funny and make a joke out of it, I find that they usually come around. But if I go back like, oh, F you, it sort of snowballs into this nasty thing. So
let me ask a question. Just for the reason of explaining what we're talking about, at that moment, does your voice sound like shit when this guy comments back? I mean, the truth. I mean, give me the truth. This guy, you put something up, the human side of you. You're like, look, yep, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I feel like I can be a real human being, offer some intimacy. You do it. This guy comes back and says, Matt, your voice sounds like shit. This is just what he says. You, as a true person, at that moment, I know this is hypothetical, but I mean, did your voice sound like shit? Was he right or was
he wrong? If it's something like a record, like I was doing something like, because I do see that live, like people will say stuff. And if I wholeheartedly disagree, like with this record, there have been some people who decided like they can take a shot or two at the record and we'll let them know that they're incorrect. And so then if you kind of gauge it from there, you see what their response is from there. So like if it's a joke and they say something and they don't get the joke, I'll let them know it's a joke. And like, oh yeah, I get it now. But if it's something like we put something out on a record and someone shits on it, then I gauge it by what I feel is right. If I see it's just outlandish, like something that's got some hateful bigotry in there, they're gone. But if it's something that can be kind of swayed or something that they need to be educated, or like if we see another band publicly talking bad or something like that, then I'll like investigate. And I like to read it. I like to read my opponent first before I figure out what to do. So it's like a case by case. But if it's like a joke and someone doesn't get it, like I made a funny Instagram clip. It was based off a thing I did. I made like a joke song called German Power Metal. Like it sounded like German Power Metal, but it was funny. And a lot of these Power Metal kids did not like that. And they got really offended by my thing. I was like, guys, this is a joke. It's obviously a joke. How are you not seeing this? I put like auto-tune and shit on it. And I was sounding like writing really dumb vocals and dumb lyrics, but they didn't get it. And so it's like at that point, like it's like case by case.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, I remember a long, I mean, this is a long time ago. I remember somebody got in my head and I found back doors to them, you know, and, you know, I had the ability to get it on, you know, and I thought, this is horrifying. I don't want anything to do with this. This isn't who I am. And I can't believe that somehow I've allowed myself to let this bother me. And half
I'll get
of what
there. I get there too.
Yeah, you know, half of what this person was saying wasn't that far off. It was the way they chose to use their words and communicate. It didn't taste well, you know. You know, I'm with you on, you know, having to decide these days what I try to do. I've had so many bizarre, unfortunate things happen to me in such a short period of time that when I'm mental, like in a car, and I'm not agreeing with the person in front of me is doing, and I feel, you know, I've spent most of my life just trying to be a real man and trying to learn and do things right. So here I think the person in front of me driving should be doing something the way I think they should be doing it. But then I realize, what do I know about this person in front of me? Their parents could have, you know, a terminal disease. They could be on their way to hospice. Maybe they've been laid off. Maybe their son had a seizure. It could be anything. But here I am on the backside of it, trying to judge because I work so hard on just trying to do things right, and I don't believe he's doing it right. So I'm going to get mad. So it's all a slippery slope, man, you know, trying to learn in this world, trying to move forward in truth, and then have obstacles called humans who have their own lives, who have to be respected for being original in their own, you know, face. But yet we all have to have an opinion, and somehow I've just not seen this world ever agree on any one thing except for, you know, death. That's all we got in common. That's about it, you know? So I currently, you know, I've had just real unfortunate things happen where the comments, people have said things I wouldn't even believe you could come up with in your brain. And so I turn the stuff off now, and I just don't care. And it helps me. And I kind of like it that way, but I don't want it always to be that way. You know, I'd like to believe in my culture and believe in the human condition. So I only ask these things of you because you're full on with this, and it's gotta have some sort of mental setback some of the time.
Definitely does. I mean, like, I will get caught up, just like you said too, like, while I find myself like always trying to do good by people and try to take care of, sometimes there'll be that one thing, that one comment that gets there. And then I obsess over that, or I obsess over someone who's wronged me before, and it sticks with me. When we were first coming out, and our band was first coming up, shortly after Ascendancy came out, and I mentioned, you know, other bands didn't really like how we were confident. We came out saying we're going to be, when I was 18, I said, we're going to be the biggest band in the world. It's since shifted to, I'm going to be the best version of me possible. That's what the quote has shifted to. But I remember reading some of my favorite bands in the world talking shit about me personally, having never even met me, in magazines. I remember one of my favorite singers of all time, I had all their shirts, their posters, I buy their eBay VHS when I was like 15, 16. He just made up, he made his mind up about me on a tour that we're supporting them. And, our show kept getting cut because the band before us, they wouldn't cut that band. So I apologized to the crowd one night. He called me in their dressing room screaming at me with his finger in my face, like berating me like a child. And after that, I heard he'd like talk crap about our band on stage and a magazine, like all these things. And this was one of my heroes. And so it's like, eventually he comes up to me like years later. He's like, I hear you've been saying some stuff about me. He's like, I hear you've been saying the same. And kind of hashed out an argument. And he's like, well, let's start over. And I said, all right, my name is Matt. Nice to meet you. I shook his hand and walked away. So like those things, like, and all of us band guys have dealt with stuff like that. We've all dealt like with stuff like that in our lives. Sometimes that stuff like sticks. And sometimes it is harder for me to let that go. And that's when I need to turn it into song versus when I look at someone or I see a comment or something, I can spiral and I can snowball. And that's when I recognize that what's best for me is if it's something that's on the fence, and I could do it humorously or just disregard it, it's good. But what I love about what I've learned from the Twitch culture, if you see something you don't like, you can just get rid of it. You ban that person permanently and they're gone. They're gone. And so I like that. I do, like I said, I do believe that people have the right to say what they want to say. And if they believe in it, they can say it. But then other people have to say that back. If you say something that you believe is good, but it's actually terrible or stupid, in my opinion, then I can let them know. So if it's something that's really bad, I just put it away. It's gone. They're cut out. They're not allowed there. They're not allowed to speak to me. And I know that some people might be like, well, is that right? Is that wrong? I don't know. I feel like guys like you, yourself and myself, and what both of our bands do, we put everything in what we are into these things. So when it comes down to that level, when it is someone attacking the integrity of my music, that's when it like kind of flips the switch. But if I see it and I know, if I decide to get in like comment battle, I never feel good after, ever. Even if they lose, I don't feel good.
I think that's why I want to take it on, because, you know, I think about, okay, like you're saying in Twitch, you know, they're gone. Well, I think to myself, first of all, this human being, you know, guy or girl, why did they feel in their life they had to express whatever it is they had to express? Why is that? We never get to that. We never get to that. You know, it's like, you're gone, you're out. Then they go create another name and they start it, and it's, you know, whatever it is. But we never get to, hey, my friend, you're here. You're taking time out of your day. You could be doing anything else, man, anything else in the world, but you decide to be negative. Maybe there is some truth to what you're saying. Maybe there isn't. But why did you feel you had to do this? What is it? Because I want to clump that into a percentage so it can be understood more. Because there, just as you can have face recognition, there could be something done about that. You know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, I don't know. I just, I feel, I guess I feel more empathy for those situations than I do the 97 comments of praise. I guess I agree.
I think all of us don't do any
of it for praise. I don't think any of us do what we do for praise. I mean,
I agree.
We're artists, you know, we do this because of love. I know that that's why you do it. You know, it's nice to be told, you know, that you're doing well and that your art's great, you know, but, you know, personally me, I don't always handle compliments great. You know, it gets embarrassing.
I'm the same. I don't like being complimented either, like, ever. When people do that, I just kind of like shift the subject to something else or I have to thank and move along. But it is interesting that I do agree, though, because, like, of that 90, so like I said, of the YouTube or the YouTube thing. So if 97 is good and then I see the three bad, I do see the three bad and I see them and I read them and I maybe read them.
See what I'm saying? There's something.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, it's
not even a third, Matt. It's not even a third.
Yeah.
It's not even 50%. It's just three. So that's why I was saying, it's like, okay, I'm screaming at the car in front of me, but the guy that's driving the car just lost his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the three, why did they have to do that? Why in the day, why did they have to go all out, express those words, those letters in that combination, forming these thoughts? We never get to it. You know what I mean? And I think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's a problem that we can ban them. I agree. You want to be, you know, you want to use racial slurs, you're out. You're gone. You know, there's no time for that. However, I don't want to be a hypocrite. At the same time, you know, again, we're just like, you're gone. But we don't get behind the necessity of why you chose to be like this right here and right now. Do you do this on every band's platform? Do you do this all day long, every day? Is it just us? Is it just me? You know, like, you know, that's where I think I'm trying to get to in all this, because I'm 50 and, you know, I was on AOL when it was a beta on a magazine on a floppy disk. I come from a very strange world of the internet, and we could talk about that for years. But now I'm sitting here where everything's regulated the best they can right now. And it's about ready. I predict in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, the law on the internet is going to be so insane. You're probably going to be paying for second by second. In your own home, it's just going to be intellectual property ownership all around the board. But I don't want to trail off on it. I'm just saying.
No, I definitely agree. And it's like, I feel like it is case by case. Like, it's like you said, if they come in and it's outlandish and it's racist and it's crazy, then it's gone. But if it's something like, that's why, like, if I see it's on the fence and I see that maybe it's something like it's ill-informed. So let's say I'm doing a vocal warm-ups, or I'm first song in, or my vocals aren't fully warmed up. Like, it even happened today. Somebody's like, Matt's voice sounds weird. Or, hey, like, you sound bad. Like, why is that? Or if it's something that, like, it's a matter they don't know how to talk to someone, I'll be like, well, what do you mean? Like, there are better ways to phrase this. And we've let them know before. Like, if it's something that's kind of medium bad, we'll time it out. They're not banned. We'll be like, all right, I'll say, what are you referring to? like, well, your voice doesn't sound the same. I was like, yes, you could say that. And then ask me, is it a different technique? And I'll let you know. I'm still current. Yeah, they'll be like, well, I'm still currently warming up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I understand. That makes sense. And then 30 minutes later, they'll be like, your voice sounds great now. So it's like, if it
that's what I'm talking about. You took the time.
Yeah. Yep.
You used the right form of sentencing, the combination of the right words. You were able to, you know, maybe this person felt obligated because now they were embarrassed. Like, you took the time and they're like, oh, shit, he called me out. And now I got to educate. But that's what it is. Communication's key into the success of our furthermen on the planet. I mean, we can't get through this pandemic unless we communicate correctly. Sometimes leaders in all places of the earth don't communicate correctly, especially for the rest of us, because we're supposedly the simple people and, you know, our agendas don't matter because there's just too many of us and these things. So that's, I guess, what I wanted to hit on. You take time to communicate and you get in sometimes. And it's not that you're trying to win, you know, and I'm not trying to express that to anybody that's listening. I'm not trying to win someone over, but I just feel like people like us, we have a responsibility to pay attention to those three because there could be positive potential that could occur. You just proved it. That
absolutely.
It could be turned around. It could be very simple. It could be just someone not being educated with someone, or you not being educated and you educate each other. Communication and knowledge is king. So,
well, exactly. Man, and it could be someone with a language barrier, even. It could be someone that doesn't speak or type English very well.
Right.
And so those are
broken
sometimes
English.
Exactly. I always like try to read the situation, just like sick and grappling. You can tell what they're going to do by the way an arm is moving, by the way their body is looking, by the way they're like what they're looking at on your body. You can gauge what it is. That's the same thing. So like it is a severity based thing. And if I can tell that they're too far gone, or it's just purely trying to get that attention, purely trying that reaction person we talked about that just wants to ruin someone's day and does not give a shit, then that's the time where you're like, all right, that is gone. But if it's someone like around that realm that doesn't understand, or like if I see something kind of trying to think of another example, or if someone says something like, hey, I heard that you did this. I remember when we first got signed, there was like rumors of my dad bought all our first week CD sales. And my dad bought our record contract to Roadrunner Records. It's like, well, first of all, that wouldn't mean any, like, how would that be possible? Or if that were possible, then why are people showing up to the shows? So sometimes it'll require that. When it seems so asinine sometimes, that maybe they really are that ill-informed. But then when it's that extremity that's too far, where I just know it's going to be too much energy, or that they're just purely trying to drag me into whatever hell that they're already in. But I do love that you mentioned the point of empathy, because that is something that I catch myself on. Like, same thing with the driving thing. Like, I'm driving with my wife and I'm getting intense about someone, like, it feels like they're tailgating me and it feels like they're doing this or that. And I think they're being combative, but maybe they're not. And I think that is a big thing that is missing from humanity is empathy. Like, that is one of the key things of why so much goes so wrong, that people don't think about how other people feel or what they're going through, or it's really having that care for everyone and everything. Just like when we're playing a show and if I see like someone gets dropped, like I've made the mistake many times. My band has told me I had to stop doing it. There were a couple shows like in Paris, horrible, horrible security for catching crowd servers. And I kept telling them like, you need to fix this. And a couple times I jumped down off stage and caught a kid. Probably a bad idea for me to do in case I break my wrist or something. But sometimes you just have to react and have to think about the other people. I guess it doesn't quite relate, but it kind of does. But it's great that you and I, how you mentioned, like, all right, I don't know what this guy's going through. And the same thing, you think of it as a severity issue. Wife, her childhood friend, somebody was tailgating her dad, not my wife, but her good friend. He was being tailgated. He stopped the car, got out with his arms up, like, what the hell? Why are you doing this? The guy killed him. And that guy just got released from prison the day before and had for road rage that he'd been arrested for previously. So, like, you also never know, like, how far someone's going to go from 0 to 10 in that direction as well.
Yeah. I mean, the world's frightening that way.
Well, yeah, man, it really is. Really is.
I've very much enjoyed this. I think before we go, I'm going to ask a couple more questions just real quickly. But I think what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to take what you said, and I think maybe even with the Electric Theater, I might do 3 stages of comments. If you want to kiss my ass, leave your message here. If you want to just talk, leave it here. And if you want to talk shit, leave it here. A third, a third, a third. And maybe I can wake up on a positive day and handle all that third, that one third of just complete negativeness and try to stray it over to the other thirds of potential. Maybe being able to sift through it a little quicker and have it divided into thirds instead of having the cancer part of it. Like, leave your negative notes here, man. No problem. But just know that when you leave it, I'm going to give the community your email. And, you know, just like you have the right to talk, we have the right to talk. Everyone has the right to
talk.
So that's one thing I do. It's like, you know, you want to talk to me, you're talking to everyone. So if you think you have the right to talk, then you shouldn't have no problem giving me your email, because you're looking at me, I should look at you. And then, you know, if you want to say something very profound that none of us understand, we might want the ability to contact you. You know what I mean? So there's a way to work it all. But see, even that gets that gets risky, you know. So but anyway, thank you for indulging on some of that. But before I go, how is everybody? Is everybody doing good? Family and band, band's family, everybody involved in Trivium. How is everybody? Everybody cool?
Yeah, we're doing fantastic. Thank you so much. My kids, my wife and I had, we're planning on having one kid, and then we ended up having twins. They're both 18 months now. They're running, jumping, climbing. Our son is a risk taker. He freaking picked up a 25-pound kettlebell at 16 months. He moved a sandbag. I've got a lot of sandbags because Florida hurricanes. He moved a freaking 40-pound sandbag on his own. I've never been naturally strong. I am not a strong person. My son is naturally strong, and it's scary. They're hilarious. They love guitar. They love metal. They love heavy music. When they hear Trivium screaming and stuff, and they hear our new record, they know it's me, and that's amazing. That my kids know my screaming voice. I love that. My wife and I are both very lucky that we both work from home. She's a graphic designer. Me having Twitch is essentially my second quote job, that I'm able to do that and still have been making the cutesy joke of keeping kids off the street. You know, I never am preachy to our audience, but for those who want an audience or that want my thoughts on something, I let them know. And I tell them, you know, physical distancing is key right now. Let's treat this thing preemptively and precautiously, but let's have social connectivity up. Let's do what you and I are doing right now. Let's do what me and the chat are doing. Let's all be connected by these social mediums, so that way we still feel the company of humans, even though it's not quite the same, that we can still be able to talk to people and not feel isolated and alone mentally while being isolated and alone physically. So my family are doing great. Thank you so much. The band, we're all doing great. Just ready to get back to it, man. Ready to get back to it. Ready to get back out. I'm missing shows so much. I'm missing seeing people. I'm missing seeing other bands. But what a treat. I've always wanted to be able to chat to you more. So I really, really appreciate this, because we've known each other for a long time now. And I really appreciate you doing this chat, because I've always been like, man, I want to sit and talk to Clown about stuff. So I'm very happy that this has happened.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Just to be completely honest, very early on, I had the unfortunate experiences of having to say goodbye to people that, you know, I fell in love with on the road. Just people that you go on tour with, you hang out with every night, you know, when you're coming up and you're nobody and you have nothing, you know, those times are the best. And it was always so hard for me to say goodbye to people. And then, you know, we're always so tired being on the road. Keeping up with people is a nightmare for me, you know, 4 kids, married, you know, in a 9-headed monster. So I've always kind of kept my distance. And a lot of it's just because, like, I just get so emotionally attached to people. And, you know, I make it mandatory. I'd be like, hey, let's go meet. And then, like, if it doesn't happen, I get upset. But I figured, man, you know, it's one thing I felt like I owed to myself was to try and reach out more and not have that perception of, I think, what people think I am. And the truth is like, I've always wanted to talk to everybody. But I don't always have the time, and I'm pulled so many different ways, and then it's made to look like I'm a certain sort of person and these things. So I just stay in my cave and practice my magic and do my thing. But I really appreciate that, because that's what a lot of this is about. It's about me reaching out to other human beings and not necessarily having some pre-programmed thoughts of, you know, I don't care who that band member was that pointed at you. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to put mm-hmm. that person on the spot. I don't want mm-hmm. that news. I don't want that drama. Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. wanted to tell me, you would have told me. I don't want mm-hmm. that. I'm not going to drag that out of you. We'll leave that person alone because you restarted. We're not going to start mm-hmm. it again. You're not going to drag me in it, right? So mm-hmm. that's what this is all about, is me just reaching out, having a conversation that can go anywhere for any reason, just because of two people that can. So I really appreciate that you enjoyed it, man. I just, hey, thanks for your time today. Tell all the guys hello. Give your family, the clowns, love. And, you know, man, just stay safe. Keep kicking ass. You're very intense. And I could have called it that you were going to have twins because you're so intense. Like, you don't have yeah, enough to do.
Yep.
You made that happen, man. You made that happen. You're like, well, that bit is, you know, some higher life purpose came at you and said, oh, really? Okay, here's the most yep. important thing on the planet is life. The most important thing man and woman can do together, okay, is create life so all of us can continue. And you got twins. So, man.
Yeah, we can't do anything normal. We can't do anything normal. Yep.
That's good, though, man. What, boy, girl, two boy? You said boy. I heard that. So two boys, right?
I got one and one, boy and girl.
Wow.
Our plan was always one and one, and we got one
yeah,
and one.
Yeah, you don't so have like, to. You dealt with it at one time.
Yes, and I think it was the first. I think it was the first attempt, too, judging by timeline. So it's just right. like, we just, my wife and I, nothing, we can't do anything normal. Everything is always like that.
Well,
it's amazing. They're finally sleeping.
Well, I know that one. And what I could say as a dad many years, man, my oldest is 28 years old and my youngest is 16. And we were barbecuing last night and my daughter was over. And I asked my son to take the tractor with the bucket and go pick up some firewood up the hill. And he just took off on this crazy machine. And my wife looked at me and looked at our oldest daughter. She's like, I can't believe I got a kid that just drives off on stuff. And we all started laughing because it's so bizarre. My oldest is 28. My youngest is 16. There's two in the middle, of course, you know. And it's, it's crazy. So enjoy them while you got them young, because remember something from the clowner here. I'm going to give you something. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
They're not
mm-hmm.
yours. They're not yours. They are theirs. And you're going to yep. learn that in many years, that they are their own things. And that's what's so lovely, is watching them develop into them, the originality known as them, you know. And I had a hard time with that. I always thought they were mine. And, they are not mine. Not at all.
Yep.
Not at all.
Amazing.
So I wouldn't want it any other way, man. So congratulations. That's fantastic. Good for you.
Dude,
man.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much.
I look forward to meeting him one day and your wife. So, hey.
Heck yeah.
Take care.
Oh, absolutely.
Take care. Be safe. Give all the fans a what's up, and just continue the good work, my friend. And I'll see you out there.
Thank you so much,
man. For what it's worth, I've foreseen it. We're up there on stage again, man. I've seen it. This is all part of the movie.
Let's do it, my friend. We have
to. Yeah, we're up there. We're up there. There's kids there. It's business as usual. It's mayhem. It's shirtless, crazy people inducting their lives in ritual known as God music. So we will all be back, and the planet will be back. This is a hiccup. It's a serious hiccup that you take serious. But sometimes it hiccups. The world hiccups, and we just happen to be in it. But I think we're fortunate because we get to learn. We get to learn, and we get to evolve in a higher form of potential. So you be good. You stay safe. Continue to do what you're doing, man. And we'll do this again. We'll get on the phone again, and we'll continue this journey and build on some other scenario next time.
Oh, yeah, let's do it, my friend. All right, thank you so much, Clown. Stay in touch, my friend. Send my best to the family.
All right, be good, man. Peace. Bye.
All right, later, man. Bye-bye.